A red glow swells against a black background, then rotates, forming the red S-shaped logo for Screen Gems, a Sony Pictures Entertainment company. A beam of light shines across gleaming silver letters. Original film. Against a white background, in orange and grey, Newmarket Films. The screen fades to black. Screen Gems presents an original film, Newmarket Films production, in association with Alliance Films. Foaming Water at Dusk. Prom Night. Brittany Snow, Scott Porter. The water shallows out onto a sandy beach, beyond which is a small forest. On the other side of the forest stands a small white weatherboard lighthouse and a lookout tower. Jessica Stroop, Dana Davis, Collins Penny, Kelly Blatz, James Ransone. Beyond the lighthouse is a large bay with a metal suspension bridge running across it. Brian Davis, Kellen Lutz, Mary Mara, Ming Nguyen, with Jonathan Sage and Jarrett Elba. Jesselyn Gilsig, Linda Nashby, Jana Kramer. A dark SUV drives along the bridge, which looms above dozens of private yachts moored in the bay. Casting by Lindsay Hayes Kroger, CSA, David H. Rappaport, CSA, costume designer Lynn Elizabeth Paolo, music supervision by Greg Danilishin, Jerry Quayler, music by Paul Hasslinger, editor Jason Ballantyne. In the back of the SUV, Donna, a pretty dark-haired girl aged about 18, gazes out of the window. Production designer John Gary Steele, director of photography Kecko Varese, AMC, executive producers Glenn S. Gaynor, Mark Porby, J.S. Cardone, Bruce Mellon, William Tyra, Chris J. Ball. The SUV cruises along a street and pulls up outside a suburban house. Donna gets out and smiles through the passenger window at another teenage girl and her mum.
Thank you for taking us to the movies as a science.
You're welcome, Donna.
See how it's going well. I'll wait for you at cheerleading tryouts.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna skip it this year.
Why?
Well, my mom doesn't think it's such a good idea, you know, with all that's happened.
She's probably right.
There's only one spot left on the team, and one of us has to get it so that Chrissy doesn't.
What did that poor girl do to you two to make you hate herself?
Where do you want me to start?
See you tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Donna's friend Lisa waves at her and they drive off. Produced by Neil H. Moritz, Toby Jaffe, written by J.S. Cardone. Donna walks up the front path and lets herself into the house. A football game's on TV in the empty living room. Donna unzips her pink anorak, opens a closet and takes out a coat hanger. She hangs her coat in the closet and closes the door. Directed by Nelson McCormick. Donna, who wears jeans, a pink tracksuit top and an Alice band on her ponytailed hair, looks around the deserted house with a slight frown. She steps back into the living room.
Dad?
Donna turns and wanders upstairs. She didn't see her dad slumped down in front of the chair. He lies motionless, his eyes closed and his hands stained with blood. Donna reaches the landing and looks around. A door is half open and she goes into a room, tripping over a baseball bat. She goes into another room.
Joey. Did you hear me, butthole? Hey. Turn the TV down.
She prods Joey and his lifeless body rolls over.
Where is she?
Donna hides under the bed as a pair of feet run into the room.
Where is she?
She's not here!
A blonde woman's thrown to the floor. Donna watches, terrified, as a man stalks over to the woman and grabs her neck.
She belongs to me. Where is she?
The woman sees Donna hiding under the bed.
I know you know.
No!
You're her mother. Tell me where she is!
She's at a sleepover. Please don't!
Donna's eyes widen in horror and she covers her mouth as her mother is stabbed several times in the stomach. Donna forces herself not to scream as her mum's head lolls over lifelessly. The attacker, a tall man in his 30s with dark shaggy hair and a beard, steps back, blood glistening on the knife in his hand. He hears the sirens outside, then quickly makes his way downstairs. Donna bolts downstairs and opens the front door. The police car drives by and the man stabs her.
I did it for us.
No!
And then what happens?
Donna, older, is in therapy.
And then I wake up. Just like I always did.
Well, like I told you before, the nightmare is an associate form of reliving the real experience. It's to be expected.
I know. It just... they went away for such a long time. I can't believe they're back.
Donna, it's going to take more than 3 years. You're doing amazingly well. Think of him only as a phantom to you now. He was caught and put away forever. 2,300 miles away. The only place that he can hurt you is in your dreams.
I just thought they stopped.
Psychological trauma often heightens during times of transition. And you don't need me to tell you that your life is in transition. High school is coming to an end, college in the fall. The uncertainty that comes with being an adult.
Donna forces a smile.
The memories of that night will come and go and fade with time, but you will never forget it. Just like you'll never forget tomorrow night. But hopefully that will be a memory that you'll always want to remember.
The counselor takes Donna's hand.
So tell me, what color is your dress?
It's a champagne color with pink and gold beads, and it's corseted, so it's a little sexy.
Oh, it sounds pretty. Yeah, we want to talk about sexy? You should see Lisa's dress, that plunging neckline. Connie's gonna love you in it.
Yeah, he's gonna love me even more out of it.
They're all at the hairdresser.
I made sure Ronnie got the biggest limousine he could find.
I can't actually believe that Michael is helping Spring to the limo and two-bedroom suite with Ronnie and Bobby.
It's prom night. That boy's planning on getting laid.
Yeah, in his dreams, maybe.
All right, Donna.
Have a look.
As Donna looks in the mirror, she sees the attacker from her dream standing over the road. A bus drives past and he's gone.
Donna.
What?
You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
What time did Bobby say to be ready for the limo?
Oh, 7.
I'm so excited!
A couple in their 40s walk through their house.
He's gonna be here soon, Donna!
Okay, Aunt Karen!
Aunt Karen carries a hat box. She sits on the couch and smiles up at her husband, Jack.
She's come so far. Going to her senior prom.
Donna wears an elegant champagne-coloured evening gown and stares at her reflection in the bathroom cabinet mirror. She opens the cabinet and takes out a small bottle of prescription pills. She studies the label thoughtfully, then puts the bottle back. She closes the cabinet door to suddenly find Aunt Karen standing behind her.
Sorry. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Smiling nervously, Donna takes the lid off a lip liner pencil.
Have you stopped taking your pills?
Yeah, for like a week now.
You know what Dr. Crow said?
I know. I don't want to be numb tonight. I want to remember everything. Everything that happens. Besides, you know, it's my prom. I'm supposed to be really anxious, right?
Of course you are.
Gosh, you look so beautiful.
Thanks. You are gonna have so much fun. This is gonna be a great night.
Oh my god, he's here. Don't worry.
Aunt Karen holds out a stone-colored chiffon shawl, and Donna hesitates.
I know she would want you to wear it tonight.
No, what if I get something on it, or... No.
Aunt Karen drapes the shawl around her.
She would be so proud of you. Come here. Oh,
thank you.
Aunt Karen hugs her.
I'm gonna go downstairs and I'm gonna tell Bobby that you're almost ready.
Donna turns back to the mirror and smiles. A black stretch limo is parked outside. Handsome, smartly dressed Bobby's in the hallway with Karen and Jack.
I wouldn't be getting a scholarship or anything, not my first year, but I think if I work really, really hard on it.
Bobby trails off as he sees Donna coming downstairs in her evening dress. He gulps.
Wow. You look beautiful.
Everyone smiles as Donna reaches the bottom of the stairs and steps up to brown-haired Bobby, who wears a black suit and silvery grey tie.
You look so good.
Clean up very well.
Okay.
He takes a corsage from a box.
Thank you.
He slips the corsage onto her wrist.
Aw, it's so pretty.
Yeah, 4 hours with the flower lady.
Did you figure it out yourself?
Kind of.
Did not. Oh, yeah, thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Here, I can do this.
A rose for his lapel.
Ow! I'm kidding.
Oh my god! Totally scared me. Okay. Perfect.
Right?
All
right. Photo.
Oh, it's good.
Bobby and Donna stand together while Jack takes a
ready?
Photo.
This one.
Oh, so cheesy. Okay.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There we go. Oh, that's great.
All right.
The four of them step outside.
I trust you. Because I went to prom once when I was 18, and... I know, sir, you have nothing to worry about.
Jack looks at Donna.
You're the most beautiful girl in the world.
Aww. Thanks, Uncle Jack.
Hey.
I love you guys.
Have a great time,
love
all right?
Have fun.
Have
a good time.
Okay.
Good night.
Bobby opens the back door of the limo for Donna, and they get in. Their friends Lisa and Ronnie and Claire and Michael are already in there. Ronnie, who has cropped afro hair, kisses Lisa, whose black hair hangs down in ringlets. The limo drives through town. The teenagers stand up through the sunroof, waving and taking pictures of themselves. Another prom couple travel in the back of a pickup truck, and others drive in a convertible. People in the street hold up placards. In the limo, Claire takes a picture of all the others.
You guys, you know Chrissy is going all Hollywood with her theme this year, so she's the president of the prom committee. I heard she spent $100,000 over budget, and her dad had to write a check.
Stop it.
I know.
Stop it.
He's totally pissed.
What's up with my daddy?
Rich bitch, one word.
$100,000?
$100,000.
Come on, look, more pictures.
Ronnie takes a photo of Claire and Michael. Donna and Bobby kiss. The limo crosses a suspension bridge which spans the bay. A red carpet has been laid out outside a hotel, and a young guy opens the door of a souped-up streetcar for his date to get out. More couples arrive and walk down the red carpet like they're attending a movie premiere. In a hotel room, some guys lift a barrel of beer in through the window. A photographer takes portraits of the couples. In a police station, a young detective with dark hair and glasses brings a fax of a mugshot over to an older guy who's typing on a computer.
Hey, Wynn.
Yeah, that's Detective Wynn to you, kid.
This just came in for you.
Wynn stares at the bearded man in the picture.
What?
The man is Fenton. Wynn gets on the phone.
Miller here.
Yeah, this is Detective Wynn from Bridgeport PD. I'm calling about a fax concerning the escape of Richard Fenton. What the hell's going on?
Yes, sir, Detective. We just received word from the hospital of Fenton's escape on Wednesday evening.
Well, why'd it take 3 goddamn days to notify us?
Sorry, sir. I needed to notify the court.
Damn it, I don't believe this.
What is it?
This is a case I had 3 years ago. Hey, Jones, give me a call, will you? Come on. High school teacher, he got crazy obsessed with a young female student. They fired him, that didn't stop it, and then when the family got a restraining order against him, then he went psycho. She got home from the movies, he didn't know she was there. She hid under the bed and had to watch him kill her mother.
God.
We arrested that son of a bitch at his house.
We found journals of this guy having fantasies about this girl. He had pictures of her everywhere.
That's pretty hard for her, too, you know? She had the idea.
You got something to say, Mr. Fenton?
Nothing can keep us apart.
Mr. Fenton?
That's him.
She needs me now more than ever. She has no family.
I see what you're trying to do.
All she has is me.
Hey, listen to me.
You know we love one another.
When interviews Fenton.
As Donna.
Can we go now, please? We're almost done here.
How it makes me feel. I want to touch her.
That's enough. Don't look over there. Look at me.
Can we go now?
Be together forever.
You ain't gonna be anywhere. You're gonna be in
we'll
jail.
Be together forever. That's what I promised.
That's enough.
Fenton stares at the two-way mirror behind which is Donna. She's taken away.
I'll see you soon, Donna. Donna.
We matched DNA, his prints were everywhere, so, you know, her ID and him sealed the deal. As far as we were concerned, he was going to die, definitely. The jury didn't think so. Well, they came back with insanity. He's been in a maximum security prison for the criminally insane up until 3 days ago.
Well, what happened to the girl, though?
She's got an aunt and uncle that live here, and they took her in. After the trial, things settled down a little bit until she started getting the letters.
Letters?
Yeah. Some sick shit, too. Hang tight, kid. I'm gonna tell the aunt and uncle. This is gonna rock their world.
Evening's fallen outside the hotel as more promgoers arrive. Donna in the limousine. The limo arrives outside the majestic Pacific Grand Hotel, and the valet opens the back door. Donna gets out first and gazes up at an enormous, ornate arched window, which dominates the facade of the building. The others get out too, and Ronnie raises his hands like a rock star. Donna and Bobby, Claire and Michael, and Lisa and Ronnie make their way inside. A member of the school faculty is greeting students in the lobby.
You look lovely. Nice try, Mr. Nichols. That boy.
The staff member confiscates a bottle of whiskey from a young guy, then sniffs it and grimaces. Some promgoers make their way to the function room, while others mill around in the lobby. A tall, slim man wearing a baseball cap stands, waiting at the reception desk. The man turns and watches all the young couples. It's Fenton, now minus his beard. He sees Donna and watches as she tenderly kisses Bobby and snuggles up to him. Fenton's eyes burn as he stares at them.
May I help you, sir?
He slowly turns back to the clerk.
Donna Keppel, you look incredible. And Claire, you too. And Lisa, wow. That dress, it's so...
inappropriate. Chrissy! Wow, your dress, it's so simple. It's so you.
Girls.
Donna steps over to blonde pouting Chrissy.
Gentlemen.
Chrissy, come on. This is prom, okay? Let's just all be nice and just forget about the past.
As fellow prom queen nominee, I want to wish you luck tonight. You're gonna need all you can get.
Oh, you think you get it all wrapped up, do you?
Well, they're certainly not propped up and on parade like yours are. That's for sure.
Look, baby, she's not even worth it. Like, you're gonna be queen. I'm gonna be your king, all right?
Look, I'm gonna go get the keys right quick. I'll be back.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm all right. Lisa, you really do look beautiful. I just know you're gonna win.
Well, thanks, Miss Waters.
Have fun.
What she thought it for.
She is so in love with you. Shut up.
Donna and her group step into the function room.
Come on now. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the prom of all proms.
Oh my God, look at this place. Look at me on the big screen.
Bridgeport High, make some noise! My name is DJ Tyler. I'm going to be hosting the events tonight. This has to be the greatest prom on earth, brought to you also by Chrissy Lynn. I see you over there, girl. Yeah! Congratulations, Bridgeport High, to all 260 of y'all graduating. It's time to get the party started. Get out there and get this party pumping, y'all. Now it's time for a little consequence.
I mean, you got to hand it to Chrissy, though. This is amazing. Wait, does this mean we can't make fun of her anymore?
Lisa laughs and steps onto the crowded dance floor with Donna, Claire, Bobby, and Michael. At the back of the room behind DJ Tyler, a huge projection screen displays messages. Donna bumps and grinds with Bobby.
Let me introduce to you.
At reception, the desk clerk's talking to Fenton.
And just so you know, our fitness center will be closed because of the renovations being done on the mezzanine level. Thank you, Mr. Ramsey. If I could just get your autograph.
Can I get three keys to suite 312? Have reserved under Ronnie Heflin.
One moment.
Ronnie steps up beside Fenton, who doesn't look at him.
Right.
Here you are, Mr. Heflin.
Thank you.
Do you have a preference as to which floor, Mr. Ramsey?
Third floor. Be great.
Okay.
Donna to Chrissy.
You really outdid yourself, Chrissy. Yeah. We really appreciate it. Thanks! I wanted it to look just like an LA club. I mean, nobody can believe it, right?
Chrissy and her friends go, and Lisa pretends to puke. Ronnie with key cards.
One for you.
Thank you.
One for you.
Thank you, sir.
And one for...
We're going up to the room to freshen up.
Pop, baby, you look great.
That's correct. You're doing very well tonight. But I'll look even better when I get back.
Mm. Well, let's go get a table before they all go.
All right, man, let's do it.
The girls go.
Open the door.
They just make it into the lift. Donna goes to press button 3, but it's already lit. Young men in business suits ogle the girls.
Oh, man.
So, which one of you beautiful young women is my date tonight?
Fenton's in the corner.
So we're gonna take this party upstairs, ladies. Room 604.
Yeah, we'll be right up.
Good.
Fenton watches silently. On the third floor, the doors open and Donna, Lisa, and Claire scuttle out. After a moment, Fenton leaves the lift, pushing past the lecherous guys.
Whoa. Excuse me. What's your problem?
In a corridor...
The one on the end looked like my dad. I swear.
The girls come to suite 312.
That one guy was kind of cute. No! What? Oh, my God!
At the other end of the corridor, Fenton stands outside his door and watches as the girls go in. A maid approaches with a linen trolley and Fenton surreptitiously takes a curved bladed lock knife out of his jacket. He scrapes at the magnetic strip on the card, then turns to the maid.
Excuse me. My card, it doesn't seem to work. Can you help?
The maid, who has long dark hair and a ponytail, walks over to Fenton and takes his card. She slides it into the lock, and a red light flashes. She turns it over and checks the strip.
Here's your problem. It's got a scratch.
She opens the door with her master key card, then turns to find Fenton looming over her.
Call the front desk and someone will bring you a replacement card.
Thank you very much.
She heads off.
One more thing. Can I have some extra towels?
Sure.
The maid walks back to her linen trolley. She brings towels into Fenton's bathroom and glances around curiously. She turns to the door to find him standing there, staring at her. Fenton flicks open his knife and pounces, grabbing the maid and plunging the blade into her stomach. She wilts in his arms and her master key card drops to the floor. Unshaven Fenton, still wearing his baseball cap, steps out onto the corridor, rotating the master key card in his fingers. Detective Wynne runs to the front door of Donna's house. Jack answers.
Jack.
Detective Wynne.
Is she here?
No, she's not. She's at her senior prom. Why?
Jack, I gotta talk to you.
Karen watches uneasily from the kitchen as Jack steps outside.
What's going on?
Jack is Richard Fenton. He escaped from jail. 3 days ago, he's at large.
Oh, how could it take so long for us to be notified?
Jack, I think we should bring Donna home just to be safe. I can't take a chance here, okay? I gotta put a unit on your house, you know that. All right? And I'm gonna put backup on the hotel.
Seemingly unaware of the plate she's dropped, Karen stares at the front window. Spotlight beams glide across the imposing facade of the Pacific Grand Hotel. Inside, smartly dressed young prom couples hold each other tight as they slow dance. Elegant lettering on one of the walls reads, "The Time of Our Lives." A side door opens a crack and Fenton peers into the function room. Donna dances with Bobby and looks into his eyes.
Thank you.
For what?
For tonight. For everything.
Well, you're welcome. I am pretty awesome.
Michael and Claire argue.
Talk about this right now.
I don't understand why you have to.
Hey, what's going on with Claire and Michael?
Oh, same old, same old. He's freaking out because she's going away to college. You know.
Babe, they'll be fine.
Claire comes over.
I gotta talk to you. Okay, I'll be right back. What's going on?
Michael, he's making me so damn mad. And on top of that, I have killer cramps.
Okay. Don't let a stupid argument ruin your prom night, okay? And I have my doll up in my purse. I'll go get it for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Is everything okay?
Yeah, I need the key to the suite. I gotta go get something for Claire.
I'll just go with you.
Oh, no, it's okay.
Fenton watches coldly as Bobby holds out the key card to Donna. Bobby kisses her first.
Thank you.
Fenton closes his eyes and turns away, and continues watching as Donna walks across the dance floor and leaves the function room. Fenton closes the side door. Donna walks across the lobby towards the elevators. A pair of girls in sparkly evening gowns walk past a couple of stone pillars, not noticing Fenton lurking behind them, watching Donna as she waits for the lift. Fenton paces towards Donna. She turns with a frown, but there's no one behind her. Fenton now watches her through a fire door. The lift arrives and Donna steps inside. Fenton walks away from the fire door. A police car pulls up outside Donna's house. In the living room, Jack looks over at Karen.
Patrol car just pulled up.
Karen sits, staring into space.
I don't understand how you could not bring her home with that maniac on the loose. With Detective Wynn, he said he wanted to bring her home. You said that.
I know. But he also said that there's no reason to believe that Fenton said it this way. And honey, if we show up at her prom in front of all her friends, what's that going to do to all the progress that she's made over the past 3 years? Do you remember how many nights she woke up screaming? I just don't ever want that little girl to go through that again. Do you?
No, of course I don't. But I'm so scared.
I know.
Donna strolls down an elegant corridor on the third floor. She comes to her suite, slides the key card into the lock, and opens the door. She steps into the palatial suite, turns on the hall light and closes the door behind her. Someone peers up the hotel corridor. Donna looks around the huge unlit living room, then turns to a closet and opens the door. She hears something and slowly looks behind her. Frowning slightly, Donna steps away from the closet and walks towards the living room, turning on the main light.
Hello? Is anybody here?
A set of doors are ajar and lead into a dark room. Donna purses her lips tensely and continues scanning the room.
Claire?
Donna sighs and holds her hand to her forehead. She steps back to the closet, reaches up to a shelf and takes down a small box, bumping some coat hangers on a rail below. Donna takes some pills out of the box and puts it back, then stops on hearing the beep. She nervously glances left and right, then closes the mirrored closet doors. Donna slowly walks back towards the living room, her eyes wide and her mouth half open.
Bobby? Is that you?
She doesn't see Fenton's reflection in the closet doors. Donna marches to the front door and opens it, just as Claire appears.
Oh, sorry, I scared the hell out of me.
Claire comes in.
Are you okay?
No.
What happened?
Michael thinks I'm going away to school just so I can date other guys. He just went ballistic because he saw me talking to Rick. He's impossible.
I'm sorry. Here, take these. Make you feel better.
Thanks.
Do you want me to hang out with you until you want to go back downstairs?
No. I'm just gonna fix my face and then I'll come back down. Thanks. How are you doing?
I'm good.
You look beautiful.
You look beautiful. Okay, I'll go request some JT. We'll dance. We'll have fun.
Okay.
See you down there.
Donna gets up off the couch, walks to the front door, and lets herself out. Claire trudges through into the brightly lit bathroom. She steps up to the wash basin, pops the pills into her mouth, and fills a glass with water. Claire looks into the mirror as she sips the water and swallows the pills. She stops on hearing something.
Donna?
Claire, who wears a low-cut peach-coloured evening dress, turns back to the sink, then wets a small sponge and wipes away the mascara streaks under her eyes. Unseen by Claire, a figure sweeps past the bathroom doorway. Claire fixes her hair in the mirror, then steps out of the bathroom. She opens the closet and puts her clutch purse onto the shelf, then closes the sliding mirrored doors. Claire hears something, then steps away from the closet and folds her arms sternly.
Michael? Michael! What are you doing?
She glances left and right. Fenton emerges and prowls towards her.
Mr. Fenton?
He draws his knife, clamps a hand round her throat and forces her back into her bedroom. Pinning her to the ground, Fenton stabs her repeatedly in the stomach. Her arms fall limply to the floor. A digital camera on the carpet shows a picture of her and Donna. At the police station...
Nash.
I'm at Pacific Grand. Our girl's got the senior prom tonight. I want you to get Hicks, Stryker, Anson, and Grand. Get them in plain clothes. Get them over here ASAP.
Why, is something wrong?
No. That's exactly how I want to keep it. There's some chance this bastard decides to come here. We're going to be ready for him.
You got it.
Wynn steps up to the hotel reception desk.
Hey, Detective Wynn, Bridgeport PD. How are you?
Doing fine, thanks.
Have you seen this man tonight?
Nah. Who is this guy, anyway?
Oh, it's just someone I'm looking for.
He dangerous?
Do me a favor. Why don't you make copies of that, give it to your staff, and let me know if anyone sees him?
Will do.
All right. Oh, you got exits here. How many exits you got?
Two outside fire stairwells.
Let me see that. Yep.
There's the loading dock in the back.
Yep.
Stairwell from the basement.
In the basement?
Three fire exits lit up on the ground floor in the main entrance.
Yep. Okay. Can I keep this?
Yeah, it's all yours.
Thank you very much.
Should I be concerned?
No.
With a reassuring smile, Wynn saunters off. In the function room, the prom goers dance while confetti falls down from the ceiling.
All right, folks, you're looking real good out there tonight. But what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna slow it down just a little bit because I don't want y'all to sweat out your good clothes. On your way to the dance floor, the old fellas, grab your girl. And thank you, man, Ronnie out there. Ronnie Heff, he's sending this song out to his girl, Lisa Hines.
DJ T.
So we're gonna get that busy right now. Here you go, folks.
50-ish sandy-haired Miss Waters comes to talk to some of the kids. Ronnie and Lisa smile at each other as they gently sway together on the dance floor. Wynn stands in a quiet corner of the function room and surveys the proceedings. A few more couples get up and make their way to the floor. At a table, Donna stares at the dance floor and Bobby touches her hair.
You want to dance?
She seems to snap out of a trance.
What's going on?
I'm thinking about going to state with you next year.
Why?
I don't know. I guess I just don't think I'm ready to be so far away from home. If we were at state together, then we would get to see each other all the time. I mean, if you wanted to.
I would love that. I mean, I would. I mean, you know I would. It would be amazing. But nothing, Donna. Like, you got into Brown with a full scholarship. I mean, you don't just throw that away for anything or anybody.
She nods a little tearfully.
It's not that I don't want to be near you next year. It's just that that would be really selfish of me. And I'd always know in the back of my head that I was the reason that you didn't get a big-time Ivy League shot at the world, no?
What if this long-distance thing doesn't work out? I mean, look what's happening with Michael and Claire. And Claire's gonna be only a two-hour drive away from them next year.
Claire and Michael are not you and me. Not even close.
Right?
What is it?
She looks down tensely.
I'm scared. It just feels like everything's falling apart. And I'm scared of losing you. I'm scared that somebody else is gonna come along and then find out how amazing you are.
If this is real, it'll last. And you know what? I think we've been through some pretty rough times already, don't you think? Yeah.
Yeah.
Donna, you gotta stop being scared, okay? Because there's nothing left to be scared of. I promise.
Michael.
Hey, you guys seen Claire lately?
Yeah, she's up in the suite.
The hell is she doing up there?
You pissed her off, Michael. She's been crying her eyes out. You can't keep doing this to her. You're gonna lose her.
Yeah, I doubt that.
He swaggers off, leaving Donna dumbstruck.
Claire Michael, Exhibit A. Nothing like us.
I love you.
I love you too.
The corridor outside Suite 312 is empty, save for the maid's linen trolley. In the bathroom of 312, Fenton sits on the floor, scrolling through photos on a digital camera. He comes to a picture of Bobby kissing Donna's neck. His face hardens, and he deletes the image. Nearby, Claire's body lies slumped against the bathtub, with three stab wounds in her stomach. Michael comes into the suite.
Claire?
He saunters up the hallway and drinks from a tumbler.
Claire!
He looks around, then walks over to a bedroom.
Are you here?
He turns on the light, then moves across to the closed bathroom door.
Are you in there? Come on, babe, look, I don't want to fight anymore, okay? Honestly, I promise I'm gonna stop bugging you about going away and all. I'm just gonna deal with it, okay? I swear to God.
He tries the handle, but it's locked.
Claire, please don't do this.
He rests his head against the door.
All right, fine. I'm just gonna sit out here. I'm just gonna wait for you to come out. I don't care how long it takes. I got all damn night.
He sits on the couch in the living room and takes a hip flask from his jacket pocket. He refills his tumbler and drinks. Michael smiles and looks back towards the bathroom.
All right. Claire, what do you want me to say?
Michael faces away from the open bedroom door.
You want me to say that I'm sorry? Okay, I'm sorry.
Michael grudgingly stands up.
Claire, I really am sorry, Claire. Look, don't let my being an idiot ruin our prom, okay?
He goes to the open bathroom door.
Okay, Claire?
He steps into the bathroom, which is now empty.
All right, where'd you go?
He chuckles to himself and turns to the bathtub, which has a shower curtain pulled around it.
Claire?
He yanks open the curtain, but there's nothing there. He marches into the bedroom.
But I already said I was sorry. What else do you want me to say, huh?
He looks over to the closet as one of the mirrored doors closes.
This is getting silly. Enough already.
slides open the closet doors. Michael looks down, then leans forward and squints into the darkness of the closet.
Claire?
Fenton's face appears out of the darkness, then lunges forward, throwing Michael to the floor and plunging a knife into the young man's stomach. In the function room, the party's in full swing and the prom girls are dancing on the floor. In 312, Fenton drags Michael's body across the wooden floor. In the function room, the carefree teenagers dance and grin. DJ Tyler gets on the microphone.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I did not know y'all partied like that here. Bridgeport! Man, y'all done wore me out up here. I tell you what, though, I'm gonna take me a little 15-minute break. But while I'm gone, the AV department put together a nice little yearbook for y'all. So y'all enjoy that. And when I come back, this year's prom king and prom queen. All right? See y'all in a minute.
The kids laugh and applaud as a montage of photos and video clips of their school life appears on the big screen. Quinn watches from the sidelines. Chrissy and her boyfriend Rick come off the dance floor.
Hey, let's go upstairs.
They're gonna announce King and Queen.
The DJ's taking a break and he's gonna come back and play a couple other songs, so...
You don't care about this at all, do you?
What's to care about?
What if Ronnie wins King instead of you?
What if he does?
He's her boyfriend. I have to be crowned with her boyfriend?
Look, Ronnie's the starting quarterback. All city 2 years in a row.
Yeah, Chrissy, you could do a lot worse.
They look over at the guy who spoke.
Besides, maybe you won't even win.
Chrissy looks dumbstruck.
All right, look, I'm gonna go upstairs. Just call me when it's time, okay?
Rick and his buddies go, leaving Chrissy with her friends.
If he were any dumber, I'd have to water him.
The big screen shows more school clips. At a table, Ronnie addresses Donna, Michael, and Lisa.
I want to make a toast to my little queen, no matter what happens.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Lisa looks at Chrissy's table.
If that bitch wins, I swear, I'll hurl. Okay, I'm sorry, but just explain to me, why do you care so much? Because what do you get? You get... like a bouquet of roses and a tacky tiara you can only wear at proms.
It's not about what you get. It's about the honor, you know? It's about the respect of my peers.
Okay.
Oh, your peers, that's the geekiest thing you've ever said.
Okay, I guess it was a little geeky.
But seriously, I just want Chrissy to know that she can't buy everything. And think about the reunions to come. If I win, it'll eat away at her. Till the day she dies.
Mmm, it's awful. You're so sexy and you're mean and vindictive.
An image of Donna, Lisa, and Claire as cheerleaders appears on the screen. Detective Nash steps up behind Wynn.
How's it going?
Well, so far so good. Anything you're in?
No. Which one is she?
She's the blonde on the back table.
She's pretty.
And alive. I wanted to stay that way.
An image of guys in American football kits appears on the screen, then a Viking head motif and a caption. What will you be doing in 20 years?
Guys, this is it. This is all ending. This time of our lives. You know, everyone always says that prom is supposed to be this amazing time that everyone looks forward to since the beginning of freshman year. But no one ever tells you it's really sad. Some of us are never going to see each other again. Except for us.
Oh, thank you.
We're going to see each other all the time.
I don't know about any of them, but...
I'm sure going to miss you guys.
Ronnie, I'm going to be 100 miles away. I'm not going too far.
And I'll be home on the holidays. And Claire's only going to be 2 hours away. Where's Claire?
Oh, yeah.
Where's Michael?
Maybe just still in the suite.
Where we should be.
You know what? We're gonna give you guys some space.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
The desk clerk.
Come on, Maria, where are you? Maria?
Are you there? Hello?
Her radio's in the linen cart.
Hey, Sims, come here. Have you seen Maria? 412 needs a turn down, and I'm trying to get her on her walkie, but she doesn't answer.
I've got this for 304. I'll check and see if she's there.
All right, thanks.
Sure.
The young porter, Sims, leaves with an ice bucket. He delivers the bucket to room 304, then looks up the corridor to Maria's abandoned linen trolley. Fenton comes out of 312, and Sims smiles as they pass.
Evening, sir.
Fenton nods as he approaches his own room. Sims stops near the trolley.
Maria!
Fenton's unlocking his room as Sims walks back to him.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes?
Did you happen to see the housekeeper up here?
Fenton stares coldly at Sims, then a cool smile spreads across his face.
She's right here in my room. Turning down the bed.
Sims walks over to the room.
Thank you.
Fenton steps aside and Sims goes in.
Maria!
Fenton follows him in and shuts the door. He grabs Sims, forces him down onto the bed and strangles him. In the function room, Wynn is still monitoring the party as the prom-goers laugh at the video montage. Ronnie and Lisa come over to Bobby and Donna.
Hey, Bobby, let me talk to you for a sec. Me and Lisa are going to head up to the suites. He was taking Michael and Claire so long. All
right. Right. Just make it quick, all right?
5 minutes, max.
Is that all?
Very funny.
Oh, if you do see Michael and Claire, tell them to get the bus back down here, all right?
Will do.
One more time for the AV to call.
Where are they going?
Upstairs of the suite for a little, long time. I'm not sleeping in that bed.
Okay.
Smiling warmly, handsome Bobby and slim, pretty Donna make their way onto the dance floor. Donna drapes her arms around Bobby's neck.
I'm having a great time.
Me too.
Giggling and planting kisses on each other, Lisa and Ronnie wait outside the lift. The doors open and Lisa bumps into Fenton.
Gotcha.
Look, come on, baby.
Lisa stares at him.
Lisa?
Yeah. That guy. He looks so familiar. His eyes.
Baby, your eyes.
Ronnie pulls Lisa into the lift. Fenton lurks around a corner, listening. In the function room, Detective Nash takes a call on his mobile. He goes outside to a uniformed police officer.
Where is it?
Very back of the hotel's parking lot.
Suite 312.
Come on, we ain't got a lot of time.
I swear that I know that guy from somewhere.
Look, know him or when he gets in home.
Don't be stupid. Did you see how he looked at me? I mean, his eyes were so... God, I swear I've seen him someplace before.
Why don't you stop thinking about him, right? Think about me. Okay.
He lifts her up and they fall onto the bed. Ronnie lies on top of Lisa and they kiss. In the function room, Donna rests her head against Bobby's shoulder and smiles contentedly as they gently sway. Bobby smiles too, his cheek brushing against her hair. Wynn keeps a beady eye on Donna from a quiet corner. Bobby leans his face towards Donna. Their noses touch, and they kiss tenderly.
There you go, pretty. That's how you do a prom, everybody.
Yeah.
You need to come to the parking lot. I think we got something.
All right, y'all. I'm about to ask y'all to move on out the way. Clear the dance floor, because this is the end of my time right now. It's time for me to bring to the stage the prettiest PE teacher I've ever met in my whole life. Miss Waters, everybody, because she's about to announce this year's prom king and prom queen. Here we go.
Okay. Sorry. Let's give it up for DJ Tyler for giving us an awesome prom. Alrighty. Now I have in my hot little hand here Bridgeport High School's prom king and prom queen. Will the nominees please join me here up on stage for prom queen? I have Chrissy Lynn, Lisa Hines,
how to get down here,
Gretty, and Katie Higgins. Come on up, girls.
Bobby gets on his cell phone.
What's going on? You reach Ronnie?
Straight to voicemail.
Try him on the house phone right over there.
Bobby runs over to a phone.
All right, and prom king is Rick Leland, Ronnie Heflin, Michael Kelly, and Dennis Law.
The parking lot.
A woman over in Woodburn filed a missing persons on her husband. She said that he would take the train to work every day in Portland, but he would always leave his car at the station. But he didn't come home last night.
They stop at a car.
Open it up.
A male body in his underwear is in the boot.
No wallet, no ID, no credit card, no money. The car was registered to a Howard K. Ramsey, our missing person.
What about these decorations, everybody? The prom committee, sensational job.
Bobby tries to call through to the suite, but Ronnie's taken the phone off the hook.
So beautiful.
Lisa lies back on the bed and Ronnie kisses her cheek and neck. Suddenly, Lisa's eyes widen.
Jesus Christ!
Lisa!
Of course! It's him!
Look,
it's
enough
him.
Already!
No, I gotta get to Donna! I gotta get to Donna!
Lisa bolts out of the room and runs down the corridor, leaving Ronnie on the bed. He tosses away an engagement ring.
Please.
Lisa desperately presses a lift call button. She barges through a fire door and runs down a flight of stairs. One of the heels breaks off her shoe and she tumbles down the stairs. Fenton looks down at her from the top of the staircase.
Why the rush?
Lisa scrambles down another flight of stairs and bolts into a dimly lit service corridor. In the function room, Bobby comes over to Donna.
I must be off the hook.
Hang on, answer me.
We better go up and try to find them. I'm sorry. Fast.
Bobby hurries from the room. In the shadowy corridor, Lisa looks left and right nervously. One end of the corridor is blocked by a trestle table. She turns and runs in the opposite direction towards a darkened doorway. Fenton peers out from around a corner and steps out by the trestle table. He eyes the open door through which Lisa has disappeared. Lisa steps out through hanging strips of plastic and spots a lift. She runs to it and frantically presses the lift call button. She turns anxiously, then looks back at the lift. A man's shadow creeps across the wall. Whimpering, she glances back, but there's nobody there. Turning to the lift again, she comes face to face with Fenton. Lisa tries to run but falls. Fenton's foot is on the hem of her dress. She scrambles away and the hem rips off. Lisa runs down a gloomy corridor and shuts a set of double doors behind her.
Oh my God!
She peers through a spy hole in the door. Fenton strolls towards her. She runs. Fenton continues his calm, unrelenting pursuit. She cautiously steps through another polythene curtain into an area that's being redecorated. Suddenly, birds fly up past her. Lisa runs further into the room, then hides under a table covered with plastic sheeting. Through a gap in the sheeting, Lisa sees a set of lift doors open, revealing Ronnie. He peers out.
Lisa!
Fenton's knife gleams in the darkness. Terrified, Lisa cries silently beneath the table. Unseen by Ronnie, Fenton watches him from the shadows.
Lisa!
Tears glisten on Lisa's cheeks. The lift doors close again and Fenton relaxes his grip on his knife. Sobbing, Lisa clamps her hands over her mouth. A shaft of light briefly illuminates Fenton's lean, angular face. He looks around, then walks away. He creeps off, silhouetted behind a polythene sheet. In the function room, Donna's anxiously watching the stage.
Ronnie Heflin, Lisa.
Oh, here's Ronnie, here's Ronnie. Hey, where's Lisa?
I don't know. She said she came down here to tell you this.
Oh, maybe she's in the bathroom. Okay, you get up on stage. Go, go.
Ronnie, please.
Right here.
Give me the key to the suite. I'm going to go try to find her in the bathroom. She's not there. I'll go check upstairs.
Okay.
Ronnie gets on stage and Chrissy snarls.
Where the hell is she?
In the darkness of the room undergoing redecoration, Lisa is still hiding under one of the tables. She peers through the gap in the plastic sheeting and the coast appears to be clear. She slowly creeps out, then looks around cautiously as she makes her way down a shadowy corridor. She walks backwards, keeping her eyes on the doors behind her. Lisa trips on some paint cans and Fenton hears. Lisa gets up and runs as Fenton paces down the corridor. He appears in front of her, grabs her and cuts her throat. Blood splashes the polythene curtain.
Has anyone seen Lisa Hind?
Excuse me, sir. Howard K. Ramsey, is he registered here? Ramsey.
Yes, sir. Room 309.
Okay, here's what we're doing. You stay here by the front door. You tell the guys at the exits what's happening and give me some backup, okay?
You got it.
Give me a room, kid. Room 309.
The desk clerk looks nervous. In a hotel bathroom, Fenton rinses the blood off the blade of his knife. Wynne, his gun drawn, stalks down the corridor with a suited man and knocks on the door of 309.
Mr. Ramsey!
Fenton's still cleaning the blade under the wash basin tap. Wynne nods to the other man, who slides a keycard into the lock of 309. Wynne slowly pushes the door open and points his pistol into the twin-bedded room. Wynne walks cautiously across the room, his gun poised. The bathroom door is open and the light is on inside. Wynne slowly paces into the bathroom, pointing his gun in front of him. He quickly scans the small white room, then pulls open the shower curtain around the bath. Maria's corpse lies in the tub. Phone to his ear, Wynne runs down the corridor.
No, he's here. He's killed a maid, cover all the doors. I'm gonna pull the alarm. I want the entire place cleared immediately. Flush him out. Hey, find Donna Keppel and put her in protective custody now. Now.
You got it. Stryker, watch the door.
Nash runs upstairs. In the function room.
All right, we're gonna start without her. Bridgeport High's prom king and prom queen are...
Detective Wynne sets off a fire alarm.
Alert. Please exit the building. This is an emergency.
Please stay calm. Quiet,
please. Please quiet down. I'm Detective Nash with the Bridgeport Police Department. I am going to need you to exit the hotel through the lobby. There's no reason to panic. The fire department will be here shortly.
They were just about to crown king and queen.
People! I'm not kidding here. Please, let's move now.
This will have to wait, all right?
Helen will.
Proceed.
Chrissy snatches the result from Miss Waters and reads.
Shit!
Chrissy's friend finds the results. Ronnie and Lisa won.
Oh my God, you have to be kidding me.
Alert. Please exit the building. This is an emergency.
A set of lift doors opens and Wynne strides out into the lobby as the prom goers are filing out. He scans the kids, looking for Donna. Donna's in the ladies' toilet.
Lisa!
While she searches the loo, Wynne scans the lobby.
Alert! Please exit the building. This is an emergency.
Donna comes out of the loo and joins the throng of teenagers filing through the lobby. She sees Chrissy.
Chrissy, what's going on? Where's everyone going? Hey, Frick, what's going on?
I don't know, but we gotta go outside.
I forgot my mom's shawl upstairs. If you see Bobby, can you tell him I'll meet him outside?
Yeah.
Donna heads off towards the elevators. Wynne studies the sea of teenagers as they pass him. Donna gets into a lift and the doors close just as Wynne looks over at them. Bobby walks with Ronnie.
Donna Keppel, if there is a Donna Keppel here, will you please come to the front of the stage?
Excuse me.
Please, thanks.
Why are you looking for Donna?
Why, do you know where she is?
She went looking for my girl.
Where?
Women's restroom and then up to the third floor.
Why?
Nash marches off and Bobby follows him. The street outside the hotel is now filled with confused promgoers and police officers keeping order. Several more squad cars and an ambulance arrive. Lift doors open on the third floor. Donna steps out and walks down the corridor.
Alert. Please exit the building. This is an emergency.
Donna opens the door of suite 312 with her keycard and goes inside.
Lisa?
She looks around.
Claire?
A blue shirt lies on the double bed.
Hello?
Donna's eyes flip nervously, and she walks backwards. She turns and bumps into a lamp. Donna walks over to the closet and slides open the doors. She reaches up to the shelf and takes down a purse. Behind her, Fenton slowly reaches out to touch her hair as she leans over to pick something up off the floor. When she stands up again, he's gone. Donna pauses tensely, then heads to the door. Standing in the doorway, illuminated by the flashing emergency lights, is Fenton. He closes the door.
Oh, I've missed you.
She backs away.
There isn't a moment when I haven't thought about you, Donna.
Please don't do this. Please don't.
She trips.
Don't be afraid. Donna! Donna!
Donna! She runs through a door, then slams it and locks it. Fenton runs towards another door, but Donna manages to force him back and lock that one too. Terrified, Donna cautiously pads towards the front door and listens. She peers through the spy hole, but can only see a wall light on the other side of the corridor. Fenton's face appears. Fenton shoulder barges the door and Donna covers her face helplessly. Fenton takes a fire extinguisher from the wall and slams it into the door. The door splinters and starts to split open. Donna unlocks one of the interior doors. Fenton breaks through into the suite and draws his knife as he stalks up the hallway.
Alert. Please exit the building. This is an emergency.
Fenton looks around the suite with a cool expression. Donna hides underneath the bed, her hand clamped over her mouth and her eyes wide. Fenton strolls into the living room and looks down at the floor. Donna watches him and takes her hand from her mouth. Donna slowly shuffles to the side, then looks round and sees Claire's corpse lying beside her. Donna covers her mouth again, but Fenton hears the cries and turns his head back towards the bedroom. Wind's outside the hotel.
Asher, Grant, I need these people back. Push them 50 yards back. Get a barricade, put it right there.
It,
come on,
hey,
come on, let's go.
You gotta stay back.
Nash comes out.
Wait.
Where is she?
I don't know. They got separated. He said she went to go look for
her
friend.
What's going on? Why won't anybody tell me why you're looking for Donna?
Hey, man, she went back up to your suite to get something.
Wynn runs back inside.
She told me to tell you just to wait here. She come back.
You can
down.
Tell me sooner, Rick? Did you see Lisa?
No.
Rick shakes his head at Ronnie. In 312, Fenton picks up the grey chiffon shawl that Karen gave to Donna. He takes a long, lingering sniff, then walks towards the bedroom. Under the bed, Donna clamps her mouth shut as Fenton's feet approach, then stop, right in front of her. Fenton looks at the twin beds, then slowly crouches down.
Donna...
Donna scrambles up and bolts to the door.
Donna, stop!
She runs out of the suite, along the corridor, and straight into the arms of Wynn.
He's in there. Claire's under the bed. She's dead. You have to help me, please.
Nash leads Donna away. Wynn and a uniformed officer approach the suite. Wynn, his gun drawn, stands by the broken-down door and signals for the officer to move along the corridor. Wynn slowly steps through the smashed door and paces along the hallway, keeping his gun poised. He scans the living room, then checks the bathroom. Wynn sidesteps around the bed, then goes into another shadowy room. He motions to the uniformed officer, who joins him in the room. They come into the master bedroom, with the blue shirt lying on the pillow and the phone still off the hook. Pistol at the ready, Wynn steps into the ensuite bathroom and looks around. He comes back out again and motions to the officer. Wynn drops to his knees and looks under the double bed. There's nothing there. Wynn and the officer look through the rest of the suite, but find nothing. A cupboard door swings open, and Michael's body slumps out. Donna is brought out of the hotel, and Bobby sees her.
Hey! Donna! Donna!
They hug, and Nash comes over.
Donna, come on. Donna, get in the car.
I'm going with her. I'm coming with you.
Okay, get in the car. Yes, yes.
Don't leave me.
Get in the car.
I'm coming. Look, what's happening?
Listen, hold on. Listen, I talked to your aunt and uncle. They know what's going on, okay? I'm going to take you home,
all right? Did you see Lisa?
Claire's dead.
Ronnie stares, dumbstruck.
What'd you say?
Bobby! Wait!
The policeman keeps Ronnie back as Nash drives Bobby and Donna away.
Yeah.
Oh, he's somewhere in this hotel because all the exit points are covered. I'm gonna tear this place apart, room by room, floor by floor, and try to get him. How's the girl doing?
Yeah, she's safe.
And her boyfriend's with us, too.
All right, keep that house completely covered until I find this guy.
Yeah, no problem.
Wynn and the officer step into a lift. Outside, Ronnie berates the detective.
My girlfriend is missing, and I need to know what the hell is going on.
She is fine, okay? I'm sure she's out here somewhere, all right? Just take a look for her.
A SWAT team arrives in a black armored van. Ronnie stares as the armed SWAT men assemble.
We'll find them. Here it is. We have three dead. One maid, two kids, okay? We've had all the exits covered all night, so there's no way he got out. I want to start on the ground floor and work our way up, all right? The hotel already knows what's going on, so let's get to work. Come on, let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go.
Hey, do me a favor. Get all those people to go home. Everybody. Consider it done. Get them going home.
Staff pass Wynn.
Hey, is everybody out?
Yes, sir.
Think so.
Yep.
Outside, Ronnie's bereft.
Lisa!
Nash's car pulls up outside Donna's house, and Karen and Jack run out.
Donna! Oh my God! Oh, thank God you're safe! It's all happening again.
You're okay.
It's okay.
Bobby, you
yes,
okay?
Sir. Yes, sir. I am. I called my parents and I told them what was happening. And I'd like to stay with Donna tonight.
Yeah, absolutely,
of
absolutely.
Course.
Come on inside.
Yeah, come in.
Stop. Mr. Turner,
okay. What?
I'm Detective Nash.
Hey, how are you?
How many entrances are on the house?
There's the front and the back. What? Tell me you've caught this animal.
Jack strides back inside, leaving young, thin Nash by his car. Outside the hotel, Detective Hicks is with Ronnie and Miss Waters.
I can't find Lisa. We are looking for her.
I've got some missing students inside. I want to know.
We're doing the best we can. Please be patient.
A couple of armed SWAT men wearing body armor and helmets kick open a door and search a room. SWAT men swarm the corridors. Outside, a tearful student talks to a couple of friends.
Someone said that Claire was murdered and Michael and Lisa are missing.
Armed police officers perform a sweep of the empty function room.
Well, Claire? We're all clear. Let's close it up.
The lights go off and the doors are closed.
Over here.
Wynn passes officers on a shadowy stairwell.
Jesus.
Wynn takes one of their torches and crouches down to look at Lisa's body. At Donna's house, Jack looks out of a window as a cop searches outside.
Faculty, staff, and guests to evacuate onto the streets. A news conference, I'm sure, will be forthcoming, and we will be here live for you to give you the updates as they come in. But to recap, a night that was supposed to be one of the greatest nights in a student's life may have ended tragically in the historic Pacific Grand Hotel.
What's going on, Detective?
This is an active crime scene investigation. If we have any more information to share, you will be the first to know.
Is it true that a student was murdered?
And that other students at the prom are missing? Detective!
Come on!
Wynn heads back into the hotel. Uniformed cops are still patrolling outside Donna's house. Bobby peers out of Donna's bedroom window at Nash, who sits behind the wheel of his parked car. Donna lies on her side on her bed, her eyes open and her face contorted with stress. Jack steps into the room.
Hey. They're just down the hall. If you need anything.
Jack turns and walks off. Donna sits up and picks up the TV remote. Bobby leans over to her.
What are you doing?
Checking to see if there's any news on what happened.
Bobby sits beside her.
Three students may have been injured or killed in this historic hotel. Now, one Bridgeport City Council person would not go on...
They're dead. They're dead, Bobby, they're dead.
No, we still don't know.
Michael and Lisa and Claire,
we still don't know that.
He killed them. They're dead because he was trying to get to me.
No, Donna, this is not your fault, okay? This is not you, okay? This is him. This is him, and they're gonna catch him, okay? I promise.
She turns to look at him.
How? How can you promise me that?
Bobby looks down and Donna covers her eyes.
I'm sorry.
Okay, come on.
He slides his arms around her and they lie back on the bed.
Listen to me, I'm gonna be here, okay? I'm gonna be here watching over you, okay?
Donna's face crumples and she holds Bobby's hand. In the hotel, staff are packing away crowd cordons while Ronnie sits on the floor, sobbing. A couple of men wearing black coats with coroner on the back wheel away a gurney on which lies a corpse in a body bag. In 312, Wynne sits wearily on the bed as Hicks comes in.
We got a positive ID from Ronnie Heflin. His girlfriend was the female victim we found up on the construction level.
How's the kid doing?
Not so good.
That's it. Turn the place upside down, no sign of him anywhere.
What do you want to do about the press? They're getting kind of antsy.
I don't know.
Wynne stands up and notices some red droplets falling onto the bed.
What is that?
Blood drips from an air vent.
What the hell is that?
Wynne stands on the bed and reaches up to the ceiling. The other officers ready their guns as he unclips the vent, which swings open.
Okay, give me a ladder.
An officer runs out. Outside Donna's house, Detective Nash leans closer to the windscreen of his car and peers out towards some bushes nearby. He looks across at a neighbouring house. In 312...
Come on, put it right here. It's got a flashlight.
A CSI officer sets up a stepladder and Wynne borrows a torch. He climbs the ladder and pokes his head up into the open air vent. Wynne shines his torch around in the gloom, but sees only pipes and cables. An arm falls across Wynne's shoulder and he jumps down. Sim's body falls out of the air vent and hangs there like a rag doll.
Jesus!
Oh my God.
It's Sims!
A flashback.
Hey, is everybody out?
Yes, sir.
I think so.
Yep.
Fenton in Sim's uniform.
Damn it. Walked right by me. Look.
Hey, did anybody talk to Nash?
10 minutes ago, everything was cool.
Wynne charges out of the hotel, jumps into his car and speeds off, skidding across the wet road in his unmarked car. Red and blue lights flashing in the rear window.
Nash.
Hey, Fenton's out. He's not at the hotel.
Copy that.
We're on it.
What's the status with the family?
They all went upstairs about an hour and a half ago. There's a light on in Donna's bedroom.
All right. I'm gonna call and let them know what's happening.
Copy?
Yeah, you got it.
A cop's still patrolling outside the house, and Nash gets back into his car. Donna watches TV in her bedroom. Bobby sits up beside her.
Donna.
Oh my gosh. You scared me.
You okay?
Yeah. I thought you were sleeping.
No. No, I was just resting my eyes. Okay.
She kisses him, then turns off the TV as Bobby lies back down on the bed. Donna pads over to the window and looks out at Nash, sitting in his parked car. Donna steps into the bathroom and turns on the light. She opens the mirrored bathroom cabinet and takes out the bottle of pills. She She tips a couple of pills into her hand, then puts the bottle back on the shelf. Donna fills a glass with water and takes the pills, then closes the cabinet. Behind her is Fenton, who smashes her head into the mirror. She suddenly wakes up back in her bedroom. Wynn tries to make a call as he speeds down the road.
The number you've reached is not in service at this time. This is a recording.
Are you sleeping?
No. It's just rest of my eyes, okay?
I'm gonna go to the bathroom.
Okay.
She kisses him on the cheek. Looking shaken and fragile, Donna sits up and looks at a young guy on the TV. She switches it off. Donna goes to the window and looks out at Nash in his car. She turns away, then hesitates. Wynn's trying to make a call as he drives at breakneck speed.
The number you've reached is not in service at this time. This is a recording.
It can't be.
Wynn furrows his brow. Nash still waits in his car outside Donna's house. Donna steps into the bathroom and turns on the light. A small circular shaving mirror is fixed by the wash basin. Donna steals herself, then opens the cabinet and takes out the small pill bottle.
I can't get through. Something weird's going on with the phone. Get in there and check it out.
Everything is secure, sir.
Yes, get in there and check it out right now. I'll be there in 5 minutes.
Nash turns on a small search lamp mounted by his wing mirror and angles it towards the house. He gets out of his car and paces towards the house. He kneels down and stares at the telephone junction box. The wire had been cut. In the bathroom, Donna empties some pills into her hand, puts the bottle back on the shelf and fills a glass with water. She sips the water and swallows the pills. A tense expression falls across Donna's face and she shuts the cabinet door. This time, there's no one behind her. She leans on the wash basin, then quickly turns and notices that the window is open a few inches. She closes the window, then walks back to the wash basin and pauses pensively. She leaves the bathroom and turns out the light. Donna lays down beside Bobby on her bed. Wynn's car speeds over to the house and pulls up. Wynn jumps out and runs over to Nash's car.
Nash, I told you to get up in there and call me.
Nash is slumped over.
Nash's
head lolls over, revealing a bloody neck wound. In Donna's bedroom.
Thank you for staying.
She turns her face towards Bobby beside her.
Bobby?
He doesn't move.
Hey.
Bobby rolls over. His neck is cut. Donna gasps in horror and jumps out of bed, then looks across to the open bedroom door. A shadow approaches up the landing, and Donna clamps her hands over her mouth. She pads backwards away from the doorway. She bumps into the open door of her walk-in closet and slips inside as the shadow nears her bedroom. Footsteps approach the bedroom and Donna peers out through the slats in the closet doors. She sees Wynn come in, gun poised.
Donna.
Fenton lunges out from the clothes behind Donna and clamps his hand over her mouth.
Be quiet. I'll find us.
Detective Wynn stares down the sights of his automatic pistol as he slowly stalks towards the closet where Fenton is hiding with Donna. Wynn reaches out his hand to the closet door. Wynn starts and runs out of the room. He races down the landing and finds Jack and Karen by a window.
You guys is down in the backyard.
Wynn looks out of the window and sees an officer lying motionless. the closet.
Are you ready to go with me?
Her blue eyes wide, Donna nods. His hands still clamped over her mouth, Fenton starts to move them out of the closet. Donna bites his hand and runs.
No!
Donna stumbles over and Fenton tumbles out of the closet. He reaches for her foot as she tries to crawl away, and she kicks him in the face.
I've got offices down. I need backup now.
Where is she?
Stop!
Stop! Fenton raises his knife to strike. Wynn shoots from the bedroom doorway. Fenton's snarl vanishes from his face and he wobbles unsteadily. Donna stares up at Fenton as he drops to his knees. She rolls out of the way as he collapses.
Yeah.
Wynn slowly lowers his gun and Donna clambers to her feet. She sobs over Bobby's body and Wynn gently takes her in his arms. He wraps his arms around her. Jack and Karen run to the bedroom doorway as sobbing Donna rests her cheek against Wynn's chest.
It's over.
Wynn strokes Donna's hair, then lets her go. Jack and Karen put their arms around her. ITFC audio description, written by Alan Blyton and read by Alice Sanders. More police arrive and cordon off the house. Cast, Donna Keppel, Brittany Snow, Bobby Scott Porter, Claire Jessica Straub, Lisa Hines, Dana Davis, Ronnie Heflin, Collins Penny, Michael Kelly Blatz, Detective Nash, James Ranson, Chrissy Lynn, Brian Davis. A flashback to the prom. Donna, Bobby, Lisa, Ronnie, Claire and Michael dance with the rest of the students. Rick Leyland, Kellen Lutz, Ms. Waters, Mary Mara, Dr. Alicia Crowe, Ming Wen, Richard Fenton, Jonathan Sage, Detective Wynn, Idris Elba, Aunt Karen Turner, Jessalyn Gilsig, Uncle Jack Turner, Linda Nashby. April, Jana Kramer, Taylor, Rachel Spector, Mrs. Hines, Valerie Ross, Mrs. Keppel, Laurie Herring, Donna's stylist, Jenny Lee, Vaughan Campbell, DJ Tyler, Jay Phillips, prom photographer, Kevin Gold, inmate, Tom Tarantini, clerk, Charlie Hirsch, businessman, Brianna Black, David Kaufman, Ross Partridge, maid, Jacqueline Herrera, Hugh Clark, Hugh Scott, Denny Harper, Nick James, bellhop, Joshua Leonard, officers, Andrew Fischella, David Lowe, Sean Driscoll, reporters, Marcus Harris, Troy Blendell, Gina St. John, Officer Hicks, Craig Sousa. Music, Time of the Season, performed by Ben Taylor. We All Fall Down, written and performed by Frankie Blue, James Latham. Lazy Eye, performed by Silver Sun Pickups. I Believe in Your Victory, performed by This Will Destroy You. By Your Side, performed by Tokyo Hotel. This Is All That We Know, performed by Mr. Me In It. Call in the Cavalry, performed by The Shies. Oh My, performed by Melodrone. Love and Touch, performed by Kovas. Up in Here, performed by Kovas. Calling Me, performed by Consequence. Say What, performed by Kovas. Making a Memory, performed by Plain White Tees. Deadline, performed by Time Tells All. Your Eyes, performed by Gary King. So Hot, performed by Kovas. I Still Remember, performed by Block Party. We All Want the Same Thing, performed by Kevin Michael, featuring Lupe Fiasco. Take Me Back, performed by Brick and Lace. Grave, performed by Torgs. Paralyzed, performed by Rock Kills Kid. Copyright Screen Gems Inc. and Miramax Film Corp. All rights reserved. Screen Gems Inc. and Miramax Film Corp. are the authors of this film, motion picture, for the purpose of copyright and other laws. This is a work of fiction. The characters, incidents and locations portrayed and the names herein are fictitious, and any similarity to or identification with the location, name, character or history of any person, product or entity is entirely coincidental and unintentional. This motion picture photoplay is protected pursuant to the provisions of the laws of the United States of America and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication and/or distribution of this photoplay may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Screen Gems, a Sony Pictures Entertainment Company.